We're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray over the preaching moment. And we're going to transition right into the Word of God from there. I did this on Wednesday, and I'm going to do it again. It's not something I normally do, but before I pray, I'm just going to do a moment of silence. The music can still play, but it's a possibility that things that are in your heart that you may, maybe you came today, but there's some things in your heart. And so before I pray over the word, we're just going to have a brief moment of silence so that you can just reflect on what it is that you need. And I'm going to ask that you would be just a little bit selfish, not worry about everybody else, but what do you need? So let's take that moment of silence. All right. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, as the people have thought about what it is they need from you, God, I'm praying that you would meet every need, name by name, one by one. But God, as we progress through this service, we ask that you would bless it from the top to the bottom, from the pulpit to the parking lot, move up and down every aisle, in and out, every row, let no one's coming be in vain. Hide me beneath the cross. God, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. God, let it be all of you, less of me, so the people can be eternally touched and blessed. And let the people say amen and amen. All right, we do another confession right before the word of God. So would you grab your Bibles, get your Bibles in your hands. If you connect to the word of God with a phone, you're more than welcome to grab a phone or an iPad. And repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise again this morning. Amen. All right, so we've been in a series we've been working through. I don't really have a good name for the series other than it's the S series. Everything so far has started with the letter S. And so we started off with the first one, and it was surrounded. And we talked about how God has us surrounded. Even looks like we're surrounded by trouble, but we're actually surrounded by God. And then last week for Palm Sunday, we talked about substituted. So we went from surrounded to substituted, and how God substituted for us. Instead of us being on the cross, it was him. And that's why we cry Hosanna to the King. And so today we're going to talk from the title Survived. So we have surrounded, substituted, and now survived. We're going to give you a working definition of survived, one that we're quite common with, and then another one that we're common with that I think actually fits very well for today. So the first one, which is one that's very quite common to us, is this: survive means to continue to live or exist, especially in spite of danger or hardship, to continue to live or exist. I do have to pause and say that I am grateful on this morning, because my brother-in-law and my sister were in an accident, and this could have been a different day, but they survived the accident without having any trouble. The vehicle didn't survive, but they survived. And so I'm so grateful that I could have had tears in my eyes, and I have a reason to praise the Lord. And many of us have stories where it could have been worse than what it was. We've survived a lot. We've come through a lot. We've made it through a lot. The devil wanted to take us out a long time ago, but because we're here, that means we survived. But here's another definition that we normally only see in obituaries, but I find it very apropos for today's message. So let's put this up. It's this: survive means to remain alive after the death of. So when you read the obituary, they say survived by their spouse, or survived by their mother, survived by their three kids. It means the people who are left behind to do life. But it simply means to remain alive after the death of. I couldn't help but think about Resurrection Sunday and think to remain alive after the death. Now, in the situation with my brother-in-law and my sister, they didn't die. The car was harmed, but they didn't die. So it's not a miracle that they are alive because they never died. But Jesus, he did die, but he still is alive. That means he survived at the highest level. I know back in the day, Destiny's Child talked about being a survivor, but there's no survivor like Jesus, because he died and he is yet alive. I wouldn't be here if he was not alive. I wouldn't be doing this if he was not alive. You wouldn't be coming through the doors of the church if he wasn't alive. You would have gave up a long time ago if he wasn't alive. But as the old songwriter said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So let's walk through this. Four things Jesus survived. Somebody say four things. So four things Jesus survived, and it was strategic survival. He survived these things, but let's start with one of the most basic things. There's several things I could say, but to keep it condensed, I'm only going to do four, but you can think about many things that he survived. But let's just focus on four. Let's go to number one. Number one, he survived betrayal. Betrayal. There's a lot of you sitting in here, just because it's Easter Sunday, we ain't got to get all cute. It's a lot of y'all that didn't survive some betrayal, some stabs in the back, some folk who smiled in your face and lied on you, talked about you. And the funny thing, all of it didn't happen outside the church. Some of it happened right in the church. You've been betrayed in the church. Some of it wasn't in the church. It was in your family. The folk that you grew up with, cousin and them, Pookie and them, Ray Ray and them. Sometimes them folk will stab you in the back and betray you. But it's nothing new, because if Jesus had a Judas, you got somebody in your life too. But here's the thing. Jesus had somebody so close to him that betrayed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I've been betrayed in my life, but I got to be honest. I have never raised anybody from the dead. Never really opened a blinded eye. Judas saw all that and still betrayed him. So if somebody talk about you, don't quit life. Don't give up. Because if Jesus had to deal with it, who are you not to have to deal with it too? But here's the beautiful thing, is he survived the betrayal. In order to talk about this, I want to go outside of the Bible for a second. I want you to put this up. This is something my wife and my daughter enjoy. And I don't really get into it too much, but I know a little about it. It's a game show called Survivor. And there's a particular season, and when they were in Micronesia, it's the 16th season. And so something happened in the 16th season. Let's put this name up. It was a contestant named Eric Reichenbach. And Eric Reichenbach was in an alliance. Those of you, I know some of y'all ain't not in your Bible all the time. Some of y'all watch reality television. And so for those of you who are so holy and you never watch it, let me break it down. They get dropped on an island. And if you could be the last one to survive the island, you can get $1 million. But in the process, folk can be voted off. You got to be the last person standing. So in order to do it, sometimes you can't survive alone. You got to form alliances. You need other people. But at the end of the day, you're trying to take the $1 million prize. So Eric Reichenbach was in an alliance with several other women. And Eric won what they call the immunity. And the immunity is when you do a challenge. If you become the last person standing in the challenge, you are immune from being voted off. You are safe. But Eric's group, the ladies in his group, he was the only man. There was a whole bunch of ladies. The ladies in his group told him that you don't need the immunity. You don't need to save yourself. We are in this alliance. And if you do not take advantage of what we're talking about, we won't be with you moving forward. So they convinced him to give up his immunity for the sake of the alliance. And Eric, believing in these women, a believer was formed, believing in his women, he gave up his safety and his immunity, and every one of them voted him right out the door. Betrayed just as quick as you could flip a coin. Sometimes the people who talk the most will leave you the fastest. And so Eric had a, what they call in reality TV, had one of those moments where he felt like the dumbest person in the room. But some of us have been in Eric's shoes. We've been in relationships, and when the relationship was over, we felt like the dumbest person in the room. Everybody knew we was with the wrong one. But us, we are human. It happens to all of us. But let's transition out of Survivor and reality TV, and let's look at the scripture. Let's look at what Matthew 26, 14 through 16 says.
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest.
What did he tell the priest? Hold on. He told the priest, oh, Jesus is so great. He's been healing people. He's been loving on people. He's so amazing. Ain't that what he told him? What did Judas tell the priest?
And asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver.
Oh, it was a money thing. Here's the problem. When it's a money thing, it's hard to get people to act right when money is on the line. That's what happened to Eric. $1 million was on the line. So you can't trust everybody when money is involved. And Judas, with his greedy self, Judas was the treasurer. He handled the money. He saw an opportunity to get ahead. But in order to get ahead, he had to stab somebody in the back. Read some more. Verse 16.
From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus.
Looking for an opportunity to betray him, watching him to see how can I trip him up. Have you ever noticed, and I got to get off the Bible for a second. Have you ever noticed people watch your Facebook but never hit like, never hit love, never comment? Sometimes people are just watching, waiting for you to fall. They'll smile when you get the job, but they're waiting for you to end up in the employment line. They say they mad at Trump for cutting DEI, but if your DEI gets cut secretly, they're happy because there's some folk in your camp that's waiting for you just to stumble. And it's the spirit of the enemy. It's not always the people. It's the devil operating through the people. Let's keep on moving because that's what happened to Judas. We know the story. Let's drop down to verse 47.
And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people.
So a scheme has been devised. Let's look at how it plays out. Verse 48.
The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss.
Not only betrayed him, but betrayed him with a kiss. All right, verse 49.
So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss.
Gave him a kiss, and that was the sign to haul Jesus away and arrest him. Came with the priest and the soldiers. And how Jesus got arrested is Judas betrayed him with a kiss. It's one thing to snitch on somebody. It's another thing to show up with the opposition and betray Jesus with a kiss. So why are you talking about he survived it? Because I want you to see something that I'm going to put up next. And let's go ahead and I'll read it. It says this: Eric didn't survive his betrayers. Jesus did survive, but his betrayer did not. Let me read that again because I kind of did it too fast. Eric didn't survive, but his betrayers did. Jesus did survive, but his betrayer did not. In the story in Survivor, Eric got voted off and the other people lived to fight another day. But in the case of Jesus, Judas was the one who ended up dying. Because here's the problem. You can betray the wrong one. And Jesus was the wrong one. Let me pause and say this. Some of y'all, I know y'all saved and sanctified. But if you ever get in an argument, you sometimes would tell somebody, I'm the wrong one. But Jesus was the wrong one because he was the survivor of survivors. And even though he was trying to be betrayed, at the end of the day, Judas' eyes was open that I sold into slavery. I sold into arrest the wrong one. And when he got the money, he threw it on the ground. It meant nothing to him. And he went and killed himself because he realized I betrayed the wrong one. And it's nothing like stepping and stabbing the wrong one and realizing it too late. So number one, he survived betrayal. Let's move on to number two. Along with this, he survived insults. He survived betrayal in his camp, but he survived insults from outside. So he had trouble on the inside, but he also had insults on the outside. Let's look at what the insults said in Matthew 27, verse 27.
Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment.
All right, verse 28.
They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him.
Stripped Jesus from what he had on and put a scarlet robe on him. Why would they do that? They did that because they were trying to make fun of him. They were trying to show people that he is no king at all. Rome is the only kingdom and Caesar is the only king. And so we're going to make a spectacle out of this Jesus fella. And we're going to show everybody he ain't worth a dime. So they come with the insults, but it's not just regular insults. They trying to make him look real bad. All right, let's look at verse 29.
They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head.
That's where we get the crown of thorns, reed.
And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews."
They got on their knees, not out of worship and respect, but to taunt him and to make fun of him. And then they put a crown of thorns on his head. And what you don't know about the crown of thorns is at the end of the thorn is about this long. It's a spike in there. It was dipped in poison. So when they would seat it on his head, it would drive all of these poisonous things down through his body. So they were insulting him and making fun of him. And this was a game to them because couldn't nobody act a fool like the Roman soldiers. It's not like just the cops in our day who sometimes do too much with their authority. The Roman soldiers were a different type of breed. It was a different type of ancient world, and they were insulting him at the highest degree. Let's look at verse 30.
And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it.
So every strike on the head is going to deep seat that thing further into his skull. And not only are they down on their knees making fun of him, they got their nerve to spit on him. And if they're really evil, they didn't just spit. It was one of them spits. One of them nasty spits. Because once folks start being functioning by the devil, they go really far. And Jesus is dealing with all of that. Let's read some more. Verse 31.
When they were finally tired of mocking him,
they wore themselves out insulting him.
They took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified.
Not enough to crucify him. We got to make a spectacle out of him. And I'm going to come back to that spectacle later. Let's look at verse 50. Now we're going to fast forward because I want to see how did Jesus survive all of that. Look at verse 50.
Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit.
So he's on the cross and he released his spirit. His very last words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Then look what happens at verse 51.
At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two From top to bottom, the earth shook. Rocks split apart.
Uh-oh. The whole earth began to recognize who he was. Here's the thing. When people insult you, they don't really know who you are. But the earth around you knows who you are. So don't fold to the insults. I'm encouraging you to survive like Jesus survived. I'm encouraging you to put your spirit in the hands of the master, because you can survive no matter what they say, no matter what they do. And if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, you're going to find out that sometimes they picked with the wrong one. Let's look at verse 52. Hold on, before I say this, many people miss this in the resurrection story. Read it.
And tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead.
When Jesus did what he did, he didn't go to the ground first, but other people who were asleep, other people who had believed in the Lord, they began to rise up out of the ground because the whole earth began to shake. Read the next verse, verse 53.
They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people.
They was coming up out the ground, not like zombies. They were coming up out the ground because something hit them, and they was going straight to the temple, and other people were singing, and then look what happens next.
The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God."
Wait a second. The very folk that talked about him, it just took a little time. It just took some time. But once he gave up the ghost and the world began to shake, the very ones that hit him and beat him and spit on him, they had to come back and say, "This was the Son of God. I was mistaken." And let me tell somebody sitting in the pew, it's some folk that talked about you that's going to have to come back and say, "I'm sorry for what I said. I was wrong for what I said." Because once God gets done shaking the earth, when God gets done shaking the systems, when God gets done shaking the government, some folk who lied on you, talked about you, they're going to have to pull their mouth back and say, "I'm sorry for what I said." Because when God is on your side, God has the final say-so. Somebody say, "God got the final say-so." Now, you don't have to say this, but let me say it. Some of y'all need to keep some of these folks' names out your mouth, because you're talking about the wrong one at the wrong time. And when they got a survivor spirit, you can't talk about a survivor, because a survivor will bounce back every time. They like a palm branch. They bend, but they can't break. They like weeble wobbles. You push them over, but they bounce back up. I may be down right now. You can laugh at me because I'm down right now, but give God some time. I'm going bounce back up. This is a resurrection Sunday, and I got a bounce in my step. It ain't over till the fat lady sing. And I told him a couple weeks ago, the fat lady's on Ozempic, so she can't even sing right now, because God is on my side and God is turning things around, and I'm gonna survive, and I'm about to thrive while I survive. All right, put this up. Removing insulters had to retract their statements. All right, let's put up number three. Only got four of them. We're already at number three. He survived the cross. Let's back up real quick and make sure you understand. He survived betrayal. He survived the insults. And he survived the cross. All right, Pastor Andre, I got a problem with that. Because if he survived the cross, why are we here? Because we're here because he was supposed to rise again, so he couldn't have survived the cross if he ended up dying. But in order for me to explain this, I'm not even going to talk about what happened at the cross. I got to talk about what they said before the cross, and I got to talk about what was said after the cross, and it will show you that he actually survived the cross. Let me put it to you like this. Not every lesson is a lesson. Some lessons are actually blessings. Sometimes the cross is not a lesson. The cross is a blessing. And so when you get nailed to your cross, it looks like you're not going to survive. But sometimes the cross is your springboard. Let's look at what was said before the cross. Let's look at John 10 and 15. And this is Jesus' own words. He says what?
Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep.
Hold on. Who killed Jesus? Now, wait a second. Jesus said, I sacrifice. You can't kill because I'm the one who am laying it down. Let's go on to the next verse to make sure I'm telling it right. Verses 17 and 18.
The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again.
Hold on. I lay down my life only to take it up again. I'm going to the cross, but I've got more power over the cross than the cross has over me. This is not an accident. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to the cross and I'm laying my life down. The Bible says of Jesus, he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So he survived the cross because the cross was just the pause. The cross was just the intermission. My son Draylen, he's in theater, and I've been to several of his shows. And one thing I know is that there's more shows after the intermission than there is before the intermission. In other words, there's more to come. So if you leave in the intermission, you're going to miss what's getting ready to happen. And here's the problem with some of y'all. Some of y'all people walked out on you in your intermission. Yeah, I was addicted to dope, but that was my intermission. Yeah, I got divorced, but that was my intermission. Yeah, I was sick, but that was my intermission. Yeah, I was in an accident, but that was my intermission. You gotta wait till the rest of the story. The cross is just the intermission. So the reason why he survived the cross is because he survived it before he ever got to it. All right, let's move on. Let's read one more verse, verse 18.
No one takes it from me.
Now, I don't know the Greek of no one, but I think the Greek of no one still means nobody. Can't nobody take from me because I lay it down. Some people fuss. The Jews killed him. The Romans killed him. It don't make a difference who did it. It was our sins that did it. But he laid himself down of his own will. Read.
But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again.
I have the authority to lay it down, but I also got the authority to snatch it back up. Read.
This command I received from my Father.
In other words, from the beginning, it was never a sense that I wasn't going to survive the cross. It was just a pause in the middle of my story. And at the end of the story, I was going to make the cross into my own personal testimony. And today, if you go to a church, you'll see a cross. If you have somebody lift up their sleeve, you see a cross on their arm. The very thing the devil thought that was going to take him out is the very thing that we celebrate, because God knew I'm going to use it for my advantage. In other words, it wasn't a setback, but it was a setup for a step up that was going to lead to a bless up. And I'm going to come back to that later. All right. So I told you I was going to come back to the spectacle. So that was before the cross. Before he laid himself to the cross, he had already said, I'm actually going there because I got work to do. But what's said after the cross? You got to look at what Paul says after the cross. Colossians 2, 14 through 15 says what?
He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross.
Oh, the reason why he went to the cross was not just to show his authority. It was for us, because we had a debt that we couldn't pay. We got sin that we can't pay. From Adam all the way to you sitting in the pews, you got a debt of sins that you can't pay. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to nail the debt to the cross. So back in those days, when you paid off a debt, they would nail it on your door to show that the debt is paid. Now we receive a bill that says paid in full, but then they would nail it on your door so everybody knows the person that's behind this door, they no longer have a debt. So when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, he was going to nail your debt to the door and say, paid in full. That's why you can't bring up my old sins, because it's paid in full. That's why you can't talk about me, because it's paid in full. That's why you can't lie on me, because it's paid in full. Well, what you doing raising your hand, it's paid in full. What you doing praising God, it's paid in full. You ain't got no business dancing. I smell cigarettes on your mouth, but it's paid in full. You don't know what God has done for me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now, all you seditious Christians, they ain't never done nothing. This message don't mean nothing to you. But those of us who's been in the gutter, those of us who's been on the bottom of the barrel, those of us who done made a mess of our life, we know that God has paid it in full. And so I'm going to praise the Lord, not just on Easter Sunday. I'm going to praise him all day long. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, I'm going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Find the glory. I'm going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amazing grace, I'm going to praise the Lord. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his house with praise, because I'm going to praise the Lord. All right. I'm not just praising the Lord because of my debt being paid. I'm also praising the Lord because of how he did it. Let's go ahead and look at the next verse.
In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.
He shamed them how?
Publicly.
All right, let me pause and say that some people will talk about you publicly, but then want to apologize privately. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if you was big and bold enough to talk about it publicly, you ought to be big and bold enough to apologize publicly. So this is what Jesus said. Y'all was spitting. Y'all was hitting. Y'all was cussing, fussing, and lying before I got to the cross in front of everybody. But I'm not mad at y'all. I know there's some devils behind y'all. So when I get on the cross, I'm about to make a public spectacle of every demon, every devil, every imp, every trouble, everything that's coming at me, I'm about to show up and show out on all. That's why the earth started shaking. Demons started running. That's what was going on. God was making an open show because they thought they had the Lord of glory. One scripture said if they knew who he was, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. What you don't understand, the reason why he came in the manger, because they was trying to kill him the moment he got here. From the moment he got here to the moment he got on the cross, they was trying to kill him, but he waited till he could put it all on the cross and make an open show publicly. So let me say this as we move to our final one. Let me say this. Put it up. The cross was not a loss. The cross was actually a victory. The cross was actually strategy. Let me talk to the men in the church. Those of you who like football. When we really like football, what we like about football is a good misdirection play. And what a misdirection play is, maybe you have the quarterback and he's getting ready to hand off to the running back and everybody shifts this way. And it looks like the whole play is going this way. And the quarterback takes the ball, the running back goes, and they all start going this way. But then there's a wide receiver that comes and runs behind and they drop the ball off and he takes off the other way. The only way this works is if everybody looks like it's going one way. So when the devil had him on the cross, they bit on the misdirection play. But the cross was not a loss. It was strategy to take it the other way. And the reason why you got a touchdown in your life is because the cross was not a loss.
Hallelujah.
All right. Last one, number four. And this is why we came here today. He survived the grave.
Yes.
He survived betrayal. He survived insults. He survived the cross and he survived the grave. Come on, let's read it. That's why we're here. We're here because of the grave. Really, to be honest, somebody waiting for me to say, he got up. Let just say it to me so I can eat my eggs and go on home. Yeah, that's what we're here for. But let me go ahead and walk it because the story is kind of good. Let's look at Mark 16, verse 1. It says what?
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body.
That's how they did it. Before the embalming time, they would anoint the body of the dead person. So they were going to the tomb because he was dead and he was gone. Look at verse 2.
Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb.
They were on their way to the tomb to do. They were grieving. They were crying. They were sad. And I love how the Bible elevates women in this ancient day because women weren't very important. But when Jesus came, he elevated the women. So they were going to his tomb. Verse 3, what happens?
And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?
They didn't know how they were going to get to the body, but they kept on walking. I love a woman's faith. They had no idea how it's going to happen, but they kept on walking. That's a message right there. You can't see your way, but you just got to keep on walking. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but you got to keep on walking. You don't know how the money going to come, but you got to keep on walking. I don't know how the stone's going to be rolled away, but I'm not going to stop walking because I got to get to the body of my Lord. Verse 4, read.
But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away.
Wait a second. Past tense. Once they got close, they realized the stone had already been rolled away. I don't know what happened. I don't know if somebody left it open. Don't know what's going on, but it's already rolled away. And I'm here to tell somebody that thing you worried about is already rolled away. You ain't got there, but it's already rolled away. That situation that you worried about is already rolled away. Because there's some stuff you can't do by yourself. You need a God to step down and roll some stuff away. Roll some troubles away. Roll some problems away. I need a God that'll look down and move some stuff over for me. Move some stuff over on my behalf. Because he's the God that will roll things away. Man rolled it closed and God rolled it open. Because there's some doors that man shut that God will open. And sometimes folk will see you walking through open doors and they know I shut the door. How'd you get through there? God opened the door. Rolled the stone away. Let's look at verse 5.
As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed.
What's he doing here? What's this young fella doing here? What is YN doing up in here? Verse 6.
Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.
Excuse my vernacular. Don't trip. I know who you're looking for, but he just ain't here right now. But this is impossible because I know I saw him on the cross. And when I saw him on the cross, I thought the cross was a loss. And so when they put him in the grave, I'm just coming to anoint him and making sure he's buried the right way. And you telling me he's not here? What is going on? Then it says, look at the place where they laid him. The next verse, then the last verse, verse 7.
But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you.
Baby, he's not here because he done already got up. Because he got up with all power in his hand. And if I had time, I would talk about what he did in hell. But I'm not even going to worry about what he did in hell. But what he did is he stopped the party in hell. Because when he gave up the ghost, the DJ started to party up. They thought things were going, but then they heard something that didn't sound like the hip hop. It didn't sound like R&B. It didn't sound like what they thought it would sound like. He was coming through the halls of glory. He was coming to take back the keys of death and hell. He was coming because he had already made an open show of the devil. He was coming for my sins and he was coming for your sins. But he couldn't stay down there. He had to get up out the ground. But when he got up with all power in his hand. Because the reason why he got up with power in his hand is because he went to the cross with power in his hand. He was beat with power in his hand. He was stabbed with powers in his hand. He had nails in his hand, but he had power in his hand. But he took that power down to hell and he made a revolutionary in hell. And what he did, he took the keys of death and hell. So we always talk about he took the keys of death and hell. And so what do keys do? Keys do two things. They unlock and they lock. See, the very God that unlocked the stone to roll away also locked up hell so you don't have to go. Hell is locked for me and hell is locked for you if you would just receive it, because he's already opened what he's going to open and he already locked what he's going to lock. And all you got to do is hook up with a survivor who survived the betrayal, who survived the insults, who survived the cross, and now he survived the grave. All right, let's put this up. As I head to my seat, here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's put this up real quick. Going back to the sports, every now and then I don't get a chance to watch the game. So I go to the box score. Now all you sports gamblers, y'all know about the box score. And so I go to the box score so I can see what's going on. Let me tell on myself. I did it just late last night. I did it because I'm a self-professed LeBron hater. So I went into the box score. And when I found out he didn't do that great and they lost, I was excited because I looked at the box score so that I can go ahead and tell my brother Jonathan that he's not better than Michael Jordan. I'm just petty like that. And I know sometimes we petty like that. But when I got to thinking, yeah, we can get a little petty. Those of us who've accepted the Lord as our Savior, we can get a little petty. Let's look at the box score. Let's look at the survivor stats. Go ahead and put it up there. Here's the survivor box scores. Jesus won, betrayal zero. Jesus won, insult zero. Jesus won, the cross zero. Jesus 3, death, hell, and the grave, zero. He done pitched a no-hitter. He done got a quadruple double. He did everything he needed to do. And this is the box score that tells me that my God has won. It tells me I'm the head and not the tail. It tells me I'm above only and not beneath. It tells me that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I need you to check the box score. He got up out the ground. He's not dead no more. It's Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He's alive. He's a survivor. He's won. And I'm here to tell you, if you hook up with the survivor, you win too. To the ladies, if I say Michael Jordan, you'll know who I'm talking about. But if I say Craig Hodges, some of you ladies might know what you're talking about. But Craig was on the team with Michael. And Craig got the same ring that Michael got. Even though Michael carried a lot of the weight, he got the same ring because he was on the team. I'm here to let you know I'm worse than Craig Hodges. I can't do nothing, but because of who's on my team, because of the survivor on my team, I wear a ring of salvation. I wear a ring of the Holy Ghost. I wear the ring of the anointing. I'm a champion. Kevin Binford, I'm a champion. You a champion. Because we got a survivor on our team. Look who's on my team. And if God be for you, who can be against you? All right, I'm done. I'm finished. Let's go ahead. We do a confession. You can stay in your seats. We always do a confession. And every now and then, I try to get a little hip-hoppy with my confession. So I tried it again. So let's put this confession up. I'll read it once and then we'll do it together. Let me read it through. It says, Father, I thank you that I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. When death came knocking, Your power showed up. You got up so I can go up. My faith tells me you are going to show up. And what you have for me, no demon in hell can hold up. Can we do that together? Before I do that, let's do this so we all can be on the same page. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, this is the time to do it. Just repeat after me. Father, come into my life through your resurrected son. Amen. I am saved. All right, let's repeat this together. Father, I thank you that I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. When death came knocking, your power showed up. You got up so I can go up. I'm going to add this and glow up. My faith tells me you are going to show up. And what you have for me, no demon in hell, no demon in hell, no demon in hell can hold up. I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. We turn this over to Lady Devin. Let's say amen for our DT youth as they go ahead and put that up. Let's enjoy them.
Amen. If your child has a speech, if they want to come up here and sit in these empty rows, we got to move a little quickly. During the message, my mind was a little somewhere else. When he was saying Michael Jordan, I thought he was saying Michael B. Jordan. So I'm glad he brought us back and got
the
us
devil is a lie.
Where we needed to be. You guys are going to be on the front two rows, boys. On the front two rows. Look at all the girls listening. On the front two rows, boys. Anybody who has a speech, you're going to be on the front two rows. They're right there. Jasmine. You can sit there. You going to sit with the girls or the boys? Let's go sit with the girls. Oh, Vaughn was right there. They can stay right there. This room, just scooch in. Scooch in. Who are we missing? Scooch in right here. Can you sit right here for a second? Now, if your child is 12 and under and they do not have a speech, we will also want them to come up very, very quickly. So if you're 12 and under, so 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we want you to come up. You can come up with them. So 12 and under is going to stand up here with me. 12 and under. If you're a parent and you want to walk with them, that would be great. 12 and under. She called me. You going to come with me?
Hey, good.
All right, Miss Krista is going to hand you a sign. And while she's doing that, you're going to tell everyone your name.
Can you tell me your name?
Khalees.
Khalees.
Alvis.
Evelyn.
Evelyn. Tell me your name.
Harlow.
Harlow.
Journey.
Journey.
Alayla.
Alayla.
Michael.
Michael.
Yes.
Okay.
Say Brazil.
Say Brazil. Is your name Brazil?
Say Brazil.
Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Jaybird.
Jaybird.
Jason.
Jason J. Bird, a.k.a.
Kobe.
And Kobe. Can we give a hand for them? So you're going to take your sign and you're going to hold it up so that they can see what letter you have. Can you hold your sign up high? This would be a great time for a picture if you guys don't have a picture. Okay, if you can do two hands, we would appreciate it. Ready? Let me step out the way. Thank you. Are we good now? Can you stand up for me?
All right. Happy Resurrection Day. Thank you. You can have your seat.
Praise the Lord, and happy Easter to each of you. Today we come together in celebration and gratitude, rejoicing in the powerful message of Easter. This is a day where we remember the ultimate sacrifice. Let me say that again. This is the day that we remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us. His victory over death. And the hope that is offered to all of us through his resurrection. As members of Deliverance Temple, we are reminded of the deliverance and redemption that Easter represents. Just as Jesus triumphed, let me say that again. Just as Jesus triumphed over the grave. Yes. Yes, he did. We too can overcome. Like I had to overcome my car accident, but I overcame. I'm here. The devil tried to keep me down, but I'm here. He triumphed. Yes, he did. We too can overcome the challenges in our lives. His resurrection brings new life, healing, and restoration to all who believe. In this season of renewal, action word renewal, let us reflect of the ways God has delivered us from trials, filled our hearts with hope and peace. We are reminded through faith. Through is always a new beginning, and that no matter what we face, the power of Christ, resurrection, is greater than anything that we encounter. As we gather in fellowship today, let us not only celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but also the ways he continues to work in all of our lives. And in our community, he is at Deliverance Temple. May this Easter bring fresh hope, renewal, and faith, and a deeper sense of joy to us all. Let's lift our voices, hearts, and prayers in thanksgiving for the life, love, and grace of our risen Lord. Happy Easter, Deliverance Temple family. May God bless you all abundantly.
We thank God for his sacrifice, for sending Jesus to give us life. He rose again so we can see the promise of eternity.
The tomb was empty. He came back to life, ending the sadness, ending the strife. He showed us the way we love, so per a promise of life that we always endure. Yeah.
It's Easter 2025. We're keeping it real. A fresh new start. That's how we feel. The world is changing fast, but love still heals. We rise with hope, and our joy is for real. From digital screens to the streets we roam, trying to find peace, a place we call home.
It's time to pop out. Some of us have been living in the shadows, afraid to let the world know that we are children of God. It's time to stop playing small. It's time to stop hiding. Jesus rose from the grave, and he didn't do it in secret. He came forth in power, and if he can rise up in victory, so can we. It's time to pop out. We are God's children. Call for such a time as this. Pop out at your job. Let them see the light of Christ in you. Pop out at your school. Be a testimony of the goodness of God. Pop out in your family. Remind them that prayer works and faith moves mountains. As we celebrate the rising King, let's walk in confidence. Pop out and let the world know we are children of God.
You know how they say in raps, we started from the bottom and now we're here? Well, Easter's just like that. Jesus started from the bottom in the tomb and he did not stay down. He rose. So now we will rise with him no matter what challenges we face. I'm on top of the world. Hey, that's how Easter makes us feel like we can do anything. Jesus' victory over death gives us the power to face our own struggles and rise above them. So now let's keep our heads up. Just like the lyrics say, you can't stop me, I'm on fire. Easter is a reminder that we have the strength to keep going, keep believing, and keep loving. So now let's keep our heads up, and just like, and you know how in the song that like the beat drops, well, that's Easter is that moment that we realize that love, faith, and hope will always win.
Great job.
Jesus rose up from the grave to show us all how he can save. He brings us hope. He brings us light. He fills our hearts with pure delight.
Easter is a time of joy for every girl and every boy. We celebrate the risen King and all the hope that he can bring.
It's not about the bunny. It's not about the ice. It's about Jesus who rose from.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, as we have celebrated this Sunday, God, with the worship, with the praise, with the giving, with the word of God, with the young people and their speeches, and with this final baby dedication, we thank you for blessing it all, God. And we know the devil is not happy, but we know we are survivors. So when we go out there, God, let us survive and rise just like you did. In Jesus' name, we declare that you are risen. You are the risen Lord. You are the risen Savior. In Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen.